Ja, men kata. This is a test. One of these is real. One of these is fake. I'll get back to these later. If I forget, y'all can yell out, "How about them apples?" And so we'll get to it. It's a joy to be here. It's been a joy to be back with y'all. And it's always great to be able to participate in these conferences. And I've been blessed. And it's been a blessing to be here last night and today, and to hear God's Word faithfully preached and exposited, and so I rejoice in that. And we just pray today that we continue to preach the Word and do what we've been called to do. And I want to go ahead and give you a preface before we dive in. This is going to be a heavily cross-referenced sermon. So you don't have to, I'm taking you off the hook and saying you don't have to do the Bible drill thing, because we'll probably be in there, everybody be fanning each other. It may be feeling good because we're going to be moving so fast back and forth and jumping back and forth. So y'all can jot the references down and go back when you have more time and read these, but I will share these with you. And I have them written down here to kind of cut off some time, shave some time, so I won't be up here flipping back and forth. And also, it's heavily referenced, and that's in order to just reinforce and undergird everything that's been said thus far. And Todd laid the foundation in like building blocks, bricks. Preachers, teachers have been stacking and building. And so there's going to be some overlap here from what's been said, because we're all focusing on the same topic, the Bible, the Word of God. And so a lot of what I say will probably say, "Hey, I've heard that last night, and today I've already heard that." And that's awesome, because we're all using the same book and we're serving the same God and glorifying the same Christ. And so hopefully it'll just continue to strengthen and to build what's already been built. And I know the sermons to come will just continue to build this this house, about the Bible, and just reinforce the lessons and the messages that we've heard at this conference. So just prepare to be bombarded with Scripture. And I have a tendency to get like an auctioneer when I'm in a hurry, and I'm the last guy of the day, and I'm right before the food. So the pressure is on. I'm always the guy before the food. And so if we need to stand up mid-sermon, do some jumping jacks to keep us all ready to go, then we may do that. I won't dare call you Pentecostal if we do it jointly and as a body to do a stretch, a mid-sermon stretch, but we'll see. Anyway, I'm yapping, so let's get to the meat of the sermon here. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 is our text this morning. As we look at testing the spirits or trying the spirits, now I went back, I slipped up, I shelved my ESV for today, and I came back to the New American Standard, and so it's going to be a little different, but pretty close. And so let's dive in to 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, where John, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming, that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So, as I've already said, we're talking about test the spirits or try the spirits. If I had, and I don't know why I do this. There's just multiple titles that could come up here that sums up the text. But I would also say fact or fiction. This is the test of truth we're talking about here. Another way to say that is the call here, and we're going to see the active command, the charge, is to be discerning, to use spiritual discernment. And so that's what John is getting at here. I'm glad that you referenced E.F. Hutton, because I was having some flashbacks to some old school commercials too. Remember the one that says, accept no imitations. What was that? Visa or MasterCard or something like that? Accept no imitations. So that's another title we could go with this morning. Or Coke, the real thing. And we have the Bible, the real thing. That's what we need to know and be discerning of. So those are some little subtitles there. Real quick context, we're diving into 1 John chapter 4, so obviously we've missed some things up to this point, but John authors this, John, son of Zebedee, the beloved disciple, he's writing this, the gospel writer of John is the author of this text as well, and he's writing this general letter to churches scattered throughout Asia Minor. And so what he's doing, number one, we see is he's warning them against false teachers. He's warning them against a heretical doctrine that was floating around specifically at the time known as Gnosticism. And I'll mention a little bit more about that. So he's warning against the Gnostics. And also so it's a warning, but it's also a letter of encouragement to encourage these churches, because he's saying, here's how you can know that you're sincerely saved and in the faith. So he gives them the test of truth. This is how you know if you're truly a believer, and you can have the blessed assurance Jesus is yours as your Savior and is your salvation if you pass the test. And so it's a warning and it's a letter of encouragement. And so that leads us up to chapter 4, diving into verse 1. Look back there. He starts off, beloved. Well, beloved, who are they? They're the Christians. He's addressing these Christians, again, scattered throughout Asia Minor. And so he's talking to believers, and here, right out of the gate, boom, here's the charge, here's the command. Do not believe every spirit. So this is not a suggestion, this is a command. This is what you are to do as a believer, is you are commanded to be discerning. You are commanded to not believe everything you hear, not to believe everything you read, not to believe everything you see that claims to be from God or of God. So the Spirit, what is that? It's everyone who's claiming something to be said from God. And I think Todd mentioned, you know, the Spirit just gave me something to say. Well, you better hold that up to the pages of Scripture and see. So we're commanded to be discerning of everyone who claims to say something from God or give a message that comes from God. If an elder speaks or a teacher speaks or somebody says, we need to be testing what they're saying to see. And so that's the charge here. But test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Why? Because many false prophets have come into the world. So this is all about the test of truth. And John is saying you need to test everything to see if it's true. Because it's going to be either true or false. It's either going to be fact or fiction. And it's going to be real or fake. And so we need to test the truth, to test to see what's the truth. What's key to remember, before we go to 1 John chapter 4 and get deeper in this text, I want to take this all the way back to the book of beginnings, to Genesis chapter 3. I want this, kind of put this in the back of your mind to see where this began, why is John having to battle against Gnosticism and false doctrine and all this, and what's up with that and what's going on and why. You go back to Genesis chapter 3, and this is what's key to remember in this dialogue, the discourse that took place between the serpent and Eve. Do you remember that? Here's what Satan did. God had spoken, the command had been given, the truth had been spoken, the truth had been given, and what does the serpent do? Well, the first thing he does to Eve is cause her to doubt. Doubt God's word, to doubt what he said. Remember what he said? Has God said? Has God really said that? So that would cause doubt. And let me just go ahead and say, as you're reading Genesis chapter 3, Eve did a naughty thing too, because she added to the scripture. Because, you know, God had said, do not touch this, or do not eat this fruit, for in the day you eat it, you will die. And she says, do not eat or touch. So she added something, and that was a no-no too. You don't want to add to God's word. You don't want to take away from it. And that's what Satan does. He denied the outright truth. After he doubted, caused doubt, he denied the truth with an outright lie. And he said, you surely will not die. Well, God said they would. Satan says he wouldn't. So there's the lie. And then he distorted the truth. Now, what's a distortion of truth? Well, it's enough truth to deceive, but enough lie to condemn. It's to kind of mingle truth and lies together. And remember, a half-truth is a whole what? Is a whole lie. So a half-truth is a whole lie. And that's what Satan did. Remember what he said? Your eyes will be open. You will be like God. And so there's the fact and the fiction mixing together. And you'll be like God and you'll know good from evil. And so the point is, this is still the tactics that Satan uses today. This is what happens. He uses these tactics. Doubt. He causes people to doubt the truth of the Word of God, to deny the truth of the Word of God, or to distort the truth of the Word of God. And again, that is what is used to deceive and to mislead countless millions of people. It has throughout history. It continues to mislead millions and millions. And what these are, truly are known in Scripture as doctrines of demons. That's what it is. Doctrines of demons. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, but the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. So ultimately we need to remember that we are in a spiritual battle. When is the battle going on? It's going on right now. It's going on 24/7. 24/7. Ephesians 6, 11 through 18. Put on the full armor of God, Christian, beloved, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, because that battle is going on, take up the full armor of God so that, in order that, you will be able to resist the devil or resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. And then the charge, the challenge there, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and listen, this is huge here, and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. This is your weapon. Everything else is defensive, right? This is your offensive weapon. This is what you can use to fight against these satanic schemes, these doctrines of demons. And then he finishes by saying, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petitions for all the saints. So the call again here that John gives us, the challenge, the command, is to try the Spirit, or test the Spirit, or another word is examine the Spirit. Why? To see if they are truly from God. So we're to examine everything. We live in a day where it's fact check, right? You got to go through the fact checkers. Well, this is your fact checker. If you are a believer, this is a fact checker as a Christian to see what's true. This is our standard. We talked about this. A standard is something by which everything else is measured. And so Scripture is our standard. It's how to test the truthfulness of any thought you hear, any theory or ideology, philosophy, or teaching that you hear. And yeah, my kids, y'all may have seen them when you started singing the B-I-B-L-E song. They both elbowed me at the same time. I caught a rib from each side because I asked them yesterday. I said, can y'all tell me how that Bible song goes? Because I was messing the lyrics up too. I had my own, as well. And they said, no, Daddy, it's the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. And that's what the charge is here. That's your standard. Why do you stand upon it? Why are you firmly fixed upon it? Why? Because the Bible is our standard. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 through 17. All Scripture, we've already heard a message on this. All Scripture is inspired by God, is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So, the answer key, I used to have a professor that gave 50 true or false questions, and that was, oh, I hated it, because it's either true or false. You're not going to get any partial credit on that. I mean, it's either all wrong or all right. And that's the same way with Scripture, right? It's either all true or it's not true, and we have to hold it against the answer key, and this is our answer key. So when people are giving out what they say is facts, we got to say, oh, wait a minute, true or false, let's look. Right there, we're holding it against the Word of God because it is our standard, it's our inerrant, infallible, supreme authority. And as has already been mentioned, when Jesus goes to the garden and prays His high priestly prayer for His disciples, for those who follow Him, He says, sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth. So this is the truth. And so that's why we're going to come to this to see if what we hear, what we read, what's being spoken, taught, preached is true. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 was mentioned just moments ago. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So what does that do? As our sword, right? This is our sword. This is our offensive weapon. What does it do? It cuts away all the lies. It cuts, oh, that's false, that's false. It cuts away. It gets down to the nitty-gritty of what is true. It gets to the heart of the matter. It cuts like a knife. It is a knife. It's a sword. And it's cutting away all the lies. It's removing all of the error and says, this is what is true and what is to be believed. Acts 17:11. Now these, who are these here in context? It's the Bereans. I think we've mentioned them. The Bereans were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness. So they're listening, just like we've been listening to teachers and preachers. They were listening to the word with great eagerness, but did they just listen and take it to the bank and said, oh, I believe everything they're saying? No, they did exactly what the charge and the command to us in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 is. They were examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. So they're holding it to the answer key. Okay, here's what they're saying. I want to hold it up to the standard and compare this, what they're hearing, to the Word of God. And that's exactly what we need to do. So we could say, I didn't come up with formal points, but be a Berean. Be a Berean. That's what we're called to do, to be like these. We need to be like Bereans, examining everything we read, see, hear, or otherwise what's being taught, preached, proclaimed, filter it through the words of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Or another way of saying that, hold fast to that, hold firm to that which is true, which is right. And so, be a Berean, maybe point one, and I guess point two would be, and this is a strange point, have your baloney detector on. What is a baloney detector? I flash back to the 80s and 70s so much in my mind, and I just see the robot from Lost in Space flinging those arms and going, danger, 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 Will Robinson. And when we hear something that contradicts to the Word of God, our baloney detector in our mind ought to be start saying, danger, 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 inconsistent with the Word of God. And so we need to have that on constantly. Crocodile Hunter also, remember, he was famous for going, danger, 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 when he would get around something that was very dangerous. And so when I go to a church and hear heretical doctrine, I want to just look out and go, danger, danger, danger. Because that's the warning here. That's the warning here. And that's what we ought to say. Anytime we hear the world or somebody saying, this is of God and God told me and this is what the Word says, we need to hold it up against the Word of God. And if it's a lie, we need to warn people of the danger. Here's my visual aid. What is this? It's known as a sieve. In the South, we call it a strainer. And what do? Let's say you got grapes. You want grape juice. Well, you mash them. You squish them right here. And what does it catch? All the pulp and all the seeds and all the hulls, all the stuff you're going to go and throw out, right? Your pure grape juice comes out right here. And that's what you drink. That's what you consume. Okay. Here's our Christian sieve. Our Christian strainer. You pour everything you hear through here. Everything that's on the radio, the computer. Well, my friend said, so-and-so at the beauty shop said, you pour everything through here. And if it gets stuck between the pages and does not filter through the grid of our supreme authority and our standard, leave it between the pages. It's baloney if it does not come out on the other side as consistent and pure with the Word of God. And if it's true, then you can drink it, you can take it to the bank, you can swallow it and chew on it because it's consistent with the Word. But if it gets stuck, it's a lie. Chunk it like the pulp out. And that's what we're to do. That's what the Bereans were doing. So be a Berean, have your baloney detector on. Why? Because at that time, many false prophets had gone out into the world. And guess what? They're still here. It's just like we said a few minutes ago. This is the world in which we live until Christ returns. There's going to be false prophets out there. People who are preaching contradictory to the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people. Just as there will also be false prophets among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Jesus, Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 16, says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. So these are extremely dangerous, right? Because just like these apples, one looks real and one's fake. They both look like apples. This is saying these guys look like sheep. They look like Christians. They sound like Christians. They speak a Christianese language, but they are not sincerely saved and true believers and preachers and teachers of truth. They are deceptive. They cause you to doubt the Word of God. They cause you to deny the Word of God, and they distort the Word of God. And just like Satan. So, there's the warning. We're to be a Berean, have a baloney detector on, be a fruit inspector. Inspect the fruit. Why do I say that? Because Jesus says in John 7:24, do not judge according to the appearance. Isn't that shamefully the way that some people, well, he looks so nice. Well, he sounds so nice. Look at his gleaming, pearly white smile and his nice suit. He can't possibly be a heretic. No, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. How do we do that? Compare their life, their preaching, their teaching to the Word of God. This is going to show you what good fruit looks like, what bad fruit looks like, what truth looks like, what counterfeits look like. Okay, so back to 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. So by this you know the Spirit of God. By this you know what's true. By this you know what is the truth. Every spirit or person, every writing, everything you hear that's confessing that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. So John is using the flesh here. It's really key in his message to the church there because he's referring to the incarnation where God put on flesh and came to earth. So he's speaking of the incarnation. Why is this huge here? Because he's using the incarnation of Christ to battle against Gnosticism, to refute false teachings of Gnosticism. So they taught that all flesh was evil. So if Christ put on flesh, that would have made him evil. So they denied the incarnation. They denied Christ's humanity, which is contradictory to the Word of God. So it was heresy. John chapter 1 verse 14, excuse me, he writes, "And the Word Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." So there John is affirming His deity. He's affirming Christ's humanity. He's affirming His eternality. He's affirming His equality with God. And so what's the point of all this? Let me get it out. There we go. You must have a correct Christology. You must have a correct understanding of Jesus, who He is, what He did. A belief in the biblical Jesus is necessary. And so the historical Jesus, the biblical Jesus, the Jesus as revealed in the pages of Scripture, you have to have that in order to be saved. A biblical understanding of Jesus. Why? Because a counterfeit Christ is not Christ. A counterfeit gospel is not the gospel. Counterfeit gods and counterfeit gospels will lead you to condemnation, ultimately. Biblical Christianity is going to point you to the biblical Christ. That's how you can know it's true. Is the Christ they describe consistent with the Christ of Scripture? Is the Christ they preach consistent with this Word? Because Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Me." So you better be going through Him and not a lookalike, not a close twin, not something that resembles but is not truly it, not some fake or counterfeit. So we have to get the gospel right. And that, going back to the elders and the importance of the hearers, is you better be sure they're getting the gospel right. It's extremely important. Your eternity is at stake. If they're misleading you, then they're going to lead you to where they're going. And it's not a good place. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, Paul says, "Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord," and Lord means Master, "and mean it from the heart that He was who He said He was, that He did what He said He would do. Nobody can say that truly and mean it except by the Holy Spirit," meaning unless they're genuinely and truly saved. So a genuinely saved Christian is going to be consistent with the Christ of the Bible. And then this is what we get to, though. If your Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible, it's not the real Jesus, that's what Scripture calls a false God. It's a false God. And here's the thing, even though people who may look good or sound good believe it, or they describe Him this way, they say that this is the real biblical Jesus, just because they may say that it's the real thing, it's not the real thing. And that goes back, you better be sure it's the real thing and accept no imitations. You better use that spiritual discernment. Here's one that we see oftentimes on the TV, the Mormons. They have great commercials, right? They show the stained glass Jesus. Hey, well, that's the Jesus in my stained glass at my church too, so they obviously worship the same Jesus, right? No. Based on what? The completion of canon and all the other scriptures we've heard thus far, you ought to shake them off when they say, "Hey, we'll give you an additional testament of the Lord. The Book of Mormon. We'll give you a free Bible." And hey, it's been abridged. But we'll give you the Book of Mormon as well. And they're, "Danger, danger." You know, here, that ought to set your baloney detector off immediately right there. But here's the thing too, and I was talking with Mormons years ago, and I won't go into that. It did not end well. I said, "Here, let me give you a Bible." When they're on their bicycles traveling around, they're instructed to not read their Bibles, but only the Book of Mormon. And I said, "They contradict." I said, "Which you believe? We believe both." "You can't, because one says this, one says that, and you can't believe them both because they contradict each other." That ought to throw out your baloney detector too. This book says this, this book says that. "Oh, we believe both." "Well, you can't." That makes me remember that the Mormons were started by an angel, Moroni, from where we get the word moron. And so that's kind of consistent with the religion if you say you can believe two mutually exclusive and totally opposite things. That's lunacy to say you can believe this and that. And not only that, what's their Jesus or who's their Jesus? He's the half-brother of Satan. So, not the biblical Jesus. So guess what? Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's a false God. It's a false religion. So warning, even though they got sweet pictures and sweet commercials, it's a doctrine of demons. It's demonic. Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, I won't go deep into that. You know, you got the Book of Mormon over here. Well, hey, let me give you this magazine, this Watchtower. Well, is this an additional? Here goes the baloney detector off as I'm getting this Watchtower from this guy. Well, who's the Jesus you serve? Well, he's not equal with God, for one thing. Okay, baloney. And he is created by God. So he's not eternal with God. He is created by God. And so you ought to cut him off right there, baloney. Why? Why would you? How dare you judge them? How do you know? Well, the Word of God is the judge. The Word of God is the standard. That's not my opinion. That is God's Word. Your God is fake. Your God is false. They don't like when you say that. They'll get on their bicycles and... No, that was the Mormons. They'll chase the Jehovah's Witnesses as they run away on their bicycles. It's baloney. But hey, they need Jesus. I don't want to make light of it. They're deceived. It's a spiritual battle. They need Christ. And so these people need Jesus. And so tell them about the biblical Jesus and let God do His miraculous work. His Word will not return void. Okay, so those are some cults out there. But let's get to more user-friendly Jesuses out there. Well, I want a Jesus that says everybody is saved because He's so loving He wouldn't possibly throw anybody in hell. That's universalism, right? Everybody goes to heaven. Whether you hear about Christ or not, we all go. And whether you're on this road or you're an Islamist or whatever, you're an Islam or Muslim or whatever, Hindu, all this other stuff, you're okay. You're okay. It all goes to the same God. That's not true. That's not true. Jesus said, I am the way. Have no other gods before me. And that's not have me number one and every god after. No, you have no other gods in my presence because I'm the true and living God. And that's it. And there's only one way. One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's no other name that's been given among men by which we must be saved. And it's not just Jesus. Well, I believe in Jesus. You believe in Jesus. Well, the Mormons believe in Jesus. Jehovah's believe in Jesus. We believe in Jesus. It's got to be the biblical Jesus. So we see how that works. And that's John's warning to us here. Oh, I want a Jesus that promises me health and wealth and prosperity and ease rather than suffering and salvation without any sacrifice. And I want to have salvation and a Savior and keep my sin and all this. A Jesus that tolerates your sin and is okay with your sin and everything that you do anti-biblical is not the God of the Bible. It's not the Christ of the Bible. That is a made-up false God. And so, that's not the biblical Jesus. Extremely important to get the gospel right and to be sure that people are preaching the right gospel. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus, the real Jesus, is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist of which you have heard that it is coming and now it is already in the world. So, real quickly, who's the Antichrist? I would say the Pope and leave it there. It'd be with Martin Luther and high-five him. No, it may be. I don't know. He's one. I'll say he's one. But the Antichrist is an evil political and religious leader that will rise up in the future in power and mislead many and will adamantly oppose God and the things of God. The spirit, little s, notice, of the Antichrist that is already in the world are those who are presently opposing God and deceiving and misleading many. And these are already all around. There are many. I just mentioned several. Antichrists, little s's, little spirits that are preaching demonic doctrines of demons. So they have the spirit of the Antichrist. Why? Because they oppose God, ultimately. They oppose Scripture. They oppose the biblical Jesus Christ. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. John writes, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. 2 John chapter 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. 1 John chapter 2, 22 through 23. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. And then that gets us to verse 4. You are from God, little children, Christian, and have overcome them. Who's the them there? These little spirits, these Antichrists, these deceptive spirits, these false teachers. But you're from God, little children. You've overcome them. What does that mean? You're no longer tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, as Paul writes in Ephesians 4:14. Why? How is that possible? And here it is. John says it. Because greater is He who is in you, Christian, than he who is in the world. Understand what God has done for you, believer. God has put His Holy Spirit within you. He dwells within you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 says, but a natural, that's a lost man, a lost person, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. That means they don't have the Spirit within them. But he who has the Spirit, he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. In John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17, Jesus says, I will ask the Father and He will give you another Helper that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. But you, Christian, you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24 says, we know by this that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He, God, has given us. And by His Spirit we can overcome he who is in the world. And this is going back. By His Spirit we can overcome he who is in the world, the devil, the rulers, the powers, the world forces of darkness, and the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And because of that, put on the full armor of God, Christian, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. So, verse 5. They. Who's the they? All these false teachers, all these false preachers, deceivers, those being deceived, they are from the world. And here notice in verse 5, the word world is used three times. And each time the word world is used, John's referring to this evil world system. The world that's ruled by the devil, the rulers, the powers, the world forces of this darkness, the spiritual forces of wickedness. And therefore, because these false teachers, deceivers, are of the world, are worldly or evil, what do? They speak as from the world. And the world listens to them. So, false teachers and false preachers appeal to worldly people because they appeal to what they selfishly desire. Again, someone who wants a God that's going to allow all people in heaven and everybody get saved is going to want to go to a universalist church where that is preached. So people who want to hear of a Jesus that is okay with your sin will seek out people who are preaching that, going back to the itching ears. They're going to find somebody who will tell them exactly what they want to hear, and they're going to go until they find a doctrine that lines up with their own selfish desires. And so, this is what they're seeking. Some are seeking prosperity and pleasure, ease without suffering, salvation without sacrifice. And here's the point. Deceivers, false prophets, false teachers will tell you whatever you want to hear. They don't want to offend anybody, right? They're not going to offend you. They're going to say whatever they need to say in order to, we see historically, is to line their pockets, to remain in positions of power, or to maintain their popularity. And so there's a reason behind it, a demonic reason behind it, but they will say whatever they have to say in order to keep the people, because they won't tell you about sin or call you to repent, because it may offend, and in turn if it offends you and you leave, that's going to cost you membership, that's going to cost you money, and so they'll tell you whatever you want to hear. They'll tickle your ears. Watch TBN for a while if you want to see this. There are some there. But you don't have to go to TBN. I mean, you can go down the street. You can go across town. You're going to find somebody, preachers, teachers, who are going to teach whatever it is that's going to give them job security. And hey, it doesn't matter if it's true or not. Just as long as it's going to keep the people and hold the people. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 3 through 4, this would happen. It has happened. It does happen. He says the time will come when they, people claiming to love God and follow Him, will not endure sound doctrine, that's truthful teaching from the Word of God, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But we, believers, are to preach and to teach the Word, the truth of God's Word, and be ready in season and out of season to reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instructions. And as Jesus says in John 15:19, Christian, if you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. The world hates truth. It hates lie. Light. Now, wow, as I pull my phone out, I see I'm way over. But I want to share this with you. I was going to have Burl and Wayne or Brian and Jacob to come up and beatbox. Y'all may not even know what beatboxing is, but I was going to have them come up here and bust a beat while I was going to share this rap song by a Christian rap artist called, his name is Shy Lynn. So y'all can go home and Google this. And he's got a song that he raps. It's called False Teachers. And I want to read it real quick. Let me begin. While there's still ink in my pen, I'm set to contend for truth that you can bet will offend. Deception within the church, man, who's letting them in. We talked about this years ago. Let's address it again. It ain't really trying to start beef, but some who claim to be part of a sheep got some sharp teeth. And then he whispers, they're wolves. You cast at me when you criticize them, but Jesus told us in Matthew 7:16 we could recognize them. And God forbid that for the love of some fans, I keep quiet and watch them die with their blood on my hands. So there's nothing left for me to do except to speak to you in the spirit of Jude 3 and 2 Peter 2. And I know that some would label me a Pharisee, because today the only heresy is saying that there's heresy. How dare they be specific and drop some clarity on the popularity of the gospel of prosperity? Turn off TBN, that channel is overrated. The pastors speak bogus statements, financially motivated. It's kind of like a pyramid scheme. Visualize heretics Christianizing the American dream. It's foul and deceitful. They're lying to people, teaching that camels squeeze through the eye of the needle. Ungodly and wicked, ask yourself, can they not be convicted? Treating Jesus like a lottery ticket. And you're thinking they're not the dangerous type because some of their statements are right. That only proves that Satan comes as an angel of light. This teaching can't be believed without a cost. The lie is you can achieve a crown without a cross. And I hear it all the time when they speak on the block. Even unbelievers are shocked how they're fleecing the flock. It should be obvious then, yet I'll explain why it's in. Peep the Bible. It's in 1 Timothy 6:9-10. Talks about how the desire for riches has left many souls on fire and stitches, mired in ditches. Tell me, who would teach you to pursue as a goal the very thing that the Bible said will ruin your soul? Yet they're encouraging the love of money. To make it worse, they've exported this garbage into other countries. My heart breaks even now as I'm rhyming. You want to know what all false teachers have in common? It's called selfism, the fastest growing religion. They just dress it up and call it Christian. Don't be deceived by this funny biz. If you come to Jesus for money, then He's not your God. Money is. Jesus is not a means to an end. The gospel is He came to redeem us from sin. And this is the message forever I'll yell. If you're living your best life now, you're headed for hell. And then He says, talk to them. Joel Osteen's a false teacher. Let them know. Creflo Dollar's a false teacher. Who else? Who else? Benny Hinn is a false teacher. I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive you. Talk to them. T.D. Jakes is a false teacher. Tell them the truth. Joyce Meyer is a false teacher. Let them know Paula White is a false teacher. Use your discernment. Let the Bible lead you. Keep going.
Fred Price is a false teacher. Tell the truth, Kenneth Copeland is a false teacher. Who else? Who else? Robert Tilton is a false teacher. I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive you. Eddie Long is a false teacher. Juanita Bynum is a false teacher. Who else? Who else? Paul Crouch is a false teacher. Use your discernment and let the Bible lead you. Now, I know many of those have already passed away, but unfortunately their messages remain and people can hear them and they're heretical. So real quick. Verse 6. We, the beloved Christians, it could be John the Apostle, true preachers, teachers, we, the beloved Christian believers, are from God. He who knows God, listen to us. Why? Because we believe the truth and speak the truth and teach the truth of God's Word. Jesus says in John 10:27-28, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. But he who is not from God, the wicked, worldly deceivers and the deceived do not listen to us. Jesus in John 10:26 says, these do not believe because they're not of my sheep. These are just like the unbelieving Jews that Jesus addresses in John 8:42-45. He says, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but He sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him, and whenever he speaks a lie, speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies, but because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Jesus, John 8:47 says, he who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them because you are not of God. So those who truly know God will listen to the truth. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. By this, the Word, we know what's true, what's false, what's fact, what's fiction, what's real, what's fake. But by what, as John has already made clear, by the Word of God that is before us, by the Spirit of God that is within us, you will know what's true because those doctrines that are spoken will correspond to a correct Christology. They'll be consistent with what the Word of God says and teaches, and you'll know the truth because of the discernment of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit Himself testifies with your spirit, so you can and should know the truth, and we should be able to defend the truth and teach others the truth. So again, the challenge is kind of to sandwich the bread and the meat all together, put it together. We should put everything we hear, see, read, every idea, thought, theory, teaching, philosophy, ideology to the test. Examine the everything that we hear. Be a Berean. Receive the Word of God with great eagerness. Examine the Scriptures daily to see whether these things that you're exposed to from day to day are so, are true. Do not be deceived. Test things with the standard of truth, the standard of Scripture. Examine everything carefully. Try everything carefully. And again, hold fast to that which is right and what is true. And so to just real quickly, I've said that, and I know it's been real slowly. Who thinks this is the real one? Y'all can raise your hands. We have one. We got more. Okay, who thinks this is the real one? All right. This is the real one. This is the fake one. Though they look real. So what's the point of this? These apples, you know, if you ate a steady diet of this, you obviously can't eat it. It's not food. It's not going to nourish you. It's not going to benefit you. You'll starve to death. And you'll die if this is all you have. Even though it looks real and it looks good, it's not good for you. But this, of course, is real. It is good. You eat it. It's healthy. It's going to feed you. It's going to nourish you and sustain you. If you eat a steady diet of false doctrine and false gospel, it may look good, it may sound good, but it's going to ultimately starve you. It's not going to nourish you spiritually, it's not going to feed you spiritually, and ultimately you will starve spiritually and die eternally. And so, beware of false fruit. Beware of false teachers. You want the gospel, the true gospel that's going to spiritually feed you, spiritually nourish you, sustain you, save you, and give you life and life eternal. And praise be to God, we can know the truth. God's given us His truth in His Word, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the Word for me, that's the book for me, and I hope it's the book for you. I don't want to stand alone, I want us all to stand firm in the Word of God as our supreme authority and our standard, because the B-I-B-L-E, is the Bible, is God's Word.
Amen.